Caper, Drive Time 91.3, both ears, just because it's stereo. I'm Shafiq Morton. Assalamu alaikum. Coming in today's show, Winnie Mandela riled by comments about her, or confidence riled by comments about her. Palestine Land Day, Suez Eastern Route, and after five, a special on Winnie, the documentary. Don't want to miss it. Stay with us. And the 18 months Winnie Madikizela spent in solitary confinement in the 1970s resulted in profound post-traumatic stress that was never treated. We didn't know that thing existed in those days. She was instead banished to Brantford in the Orange Free State. In paying her tribute to Winnie, whom she first met in 1976, journalist, author and activist Charlene Smith has scolded certain white South Africans and social media for some of their disparaging comments. Charlene Smith now joins us in line from the USA. Charlene, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
It's interesting that you've pinpointed the 18 months that Winnie Mandela spent in solitary confinement. A very grim time. I don't think many people realize, number one, what it's like to be in solitary confinement, and number two, that she was tortured during that time and also treated extremely badly.
Well, I think it's important to tell people exactly what happened to her. So the cops came to the house in Soweto at 3 a.m. Her daughters, aged 9 and 10, were at home. They didn't allow her to fetch her sister, which was just a street away, to look after the girls. So they took her to the old fort in Johannesburg, put her in this huge dark cell on her own, stripped her naked. Over 18 months, never allowed her out, never allowed her to wash, which meant that when she had her menstruation, the blood caked on her legs over 18 months. All she had for company were cockroaches. And I'm not sure that many people could survive that sort of thing and remain entirely normal. And one of the things that we know about post-traumatic stress is very often people who experience it will turn to abuse themselves, because inside they are screaming. They have been deeply wounded and nobody can see it. Nobody's helping them.
No, absolutely. And I'm glad you've graphically described what happened to her. I mean, nothing is more humiliating when strange people take you away. And obviously, taking your clothing off you is just another means of torture, of humiliation. Not allowing you the dignity of even being able to wash is just another methodology of just trying to break the human spirit. I think what's amazing, you know, when we read these accounts, as you've just said, the fact that Winnie Mandela was able to come out of it as a sane human being, let alone post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, she had two children. She adored her children. She was an excellent, excellent mother, one of the best mothers I'd ever come across. So she felt that not only did she have a duty to her girls to show that you could withstand anything and you could survive and you could be triumphant, before she went in, she was a very proud woman. So I think this was the apartheid state's way of trying to completely destroy and humiliate her, and in the same way try to destroy and humiliate her husband, Nelson Mandela. So one way that you emasculate a man is by harming the woman in his life. So they tried all of these things, but I think what it did in her, it strengthened the resolve that she wouldn't be broken. They not long after that banished her to Brantford in the Free State, tiny dusty village. She was banned. It was a tiny place. She didn't even have a phone. She'd have to walk about 3 miles to the local post office to make calls. In the 1 hour a day that as a banned person she was allowed out, if people visited her, they would be arrested and serve jail time. So it was very perilous for people to come near her. She was desperately, desperately lonely. And I think that's when she really started finally breaking.
Yeah, I mean, it's very tough. And also the fact, as you say, that she was a mother. And, you know, being a mother, I've never been one, obviously, but obviously it is a very serious responsibility, and it has lots and lots of demands on a person. And to be so restricted in your movement, your activities and everything must have been, as you say, massively debilitating. But I think also what comes through so strongly is that she didn't give up resisting. In fact, if you look at the pattern of her life, the more they pushed, the more they pulled, the more she pushed, in a sense, you know, that she just didn't give up.
Right. But I think that's the message for all of us, isn't it? So when you're faced with difficulty, do you lie down and allow people to walk over you? Do you allow them to continue to kick you? Or do you stand up and say, no, you know what, I'm not going to allow this. I am going to succeed. I'm going to be better than you want me to be. I'm going to be better than I can dream of being. Sometimes, however, as we saw with Mrs. Mandela, you do finally collapse because there's a limit to what humans can take. But I think that it's really important for us to remember what she did for us, what she did for hundreds and hundreds of people that went to her home in Soweto, particularly young people who were desperate for inspiration, who were desperate for leadership. She took many of them in, she looked after them. Many of our leaders, Tokyo Sekhwale, Zwelakhe Mankazana, many people went to her home first and got leadership from her and inspiration from her. Cyril Ramaphosa was another person. And I think that the way these white races are behaving, they disgust me, because Nelson Mandela came out and he forgave every single one of us white people for what we had done over 50 years, exploiting and destroying black people, making the color of your skin an offense, arresting people for past offenses, forcibly relocating people, deaths in detention, apartheid, death squads, assassinating many people. He came out. And he urged us to reconcile. He said, make friends with your enemies. But today we find that with the death of his ex-wife, and a woman I think that he loved most of all, we find people behaving in a most despicable, contemptible way. And all of these people who are conveniently raising the death of Stumpy and who are ignoring the fact, I also knew Stumpy, are ignoring the fact that Stumpy was put in a security branch detention from the age of 10. He was tortured by white security branch officers on multiple occasions in detention. Nobody's speaking about that, and yet we should be. We have too easily, too quickly forgotten what apartheid did, and we are too easily, too quickly thinking that this country that we gave people the vote and they should get up and walk out tomorrow and act as if nothing ever happened. And my point in my article is that this country is damaged. South Africans are damaged, and that's why we have such a very, very high rate of crime, because we've lost respect for ourselves, we've lost respect for others. There has to be some way of us reaching out and healing, because it just makes me so sad for my country. It really does.
Charlene Smith, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I think everybody listening to you right now has said, hear, this is not the time to be ungracious. It's the time to appreciate what one single human being did for the cause of truth in this country. And Charlene, just to reassure you, yes, there have been those disgusting racists, but a lot of South Africans are sitting back and only now beginning to realize exactly the role that Winnie Mandela played. And in that sense, I think it's all for the good. But Charlene Smith, thanks a lot for the article, and thanks a lot for chatting to us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.